Would you turn to Malachi chapter 3 for me, or with me? We continued our series of First and Best. Last week we began speaking part one about tithing and what it really is. As I shared with you guys, and if you missed it, you can listen to the audio on the church website. You know, a lot of us do it out of obedience, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way we're supposed to do. When God says something, we do it in faith and out of obedience. But also, God wants us to know why. As we pursue Him, and as we started to learn, is that we tithe because it's an expression of a heart of worship. It is not a bill we pay. It is not something that, you know, we have to do because it's the worst thing in the world, and if we don't, whatever. We do it because God says to do it, and it's His heart, and we started to really look into that last week. And again, I encourage you to listen to it. Now, most of us have heard this quote, God loves a cheerful giver, right? Most of us who've been in churches have heard that statement. And a lot of times, pastor would use it to kind of compel or guilt or something. And you know what? As I've been really thinking about that one scripture, God loves a cheerful giver. What does that exactly mean to Him? What does that mean to me? See, God wants me to give, and He prefers it comes with a joyful heart. Okay? Because a lot of people take that and said, do not give grudgingly. That means, well, if I've got an attitude or I don't feel like it, I don't have to do it. But see, as we've come to learn, and we'll talk about it some more today, tithing is a principle. We are supposed to do it. God would prefer that we do it with joy, because when we do it with joy, we're doing it His way. Because what we're doing is with His joy. Let me tell you, not many of us love giving away money. Okay, I'm just being honest and frank. But I have to also tell you, ever since the Lord has instilled the joy of giving in my heart, I get excited about tithing. I can't wait when we get paid. I'm being honest here. This is not exaggeration. When we get paid or we get a blessing, I can't wait to write out that tithe check, and I can't wait to come to church. If we get paid on a Tuesday, and I wish almost we had church Wednesday so I can give it in. Give it to the Lord, lay it at His altar. Because there's something to the joy that comes with that and the faithfulness. And when we are obedient and faithful, that is a door that is open for God to work. God moves in our obedience. He moves in our faithfulness. And if you're not a place where you can, you know, be a cheerful giver, do it anyway. But then ask the Holy Spirit to open up the heart so that you recognize, especially as we talk today, the joy that needs to come with this. Because joy of the Lord is our strength. And this builds joy. This builds our character. So we talked a little bit last week about what it means about the curse that our stuff, when we do, because it's all God's anyway. So God has given us everything. And then when we tithe, we're given back a portion of what God already owned. Remember the whole stewardship concept. And when we don't do that, what we have becomes cursed. And I'm just going to share this testimony. You know, most of you know, last week in church, right as church ended, I got a call to come home because somebody rammed into my truck and totaled it while sitting in front of my yard. And for those that were here, you know that you might remember the testimony that about a year ago when we knew we were having a PACE team, the Lord told me to give my car to the church for the PACE team. And that He would provide a truck. He actually gave me a vision of a truck. And we did that in faith. And to make a very long story short, out of the blue one day in January last year, before the PACE team came, I got a call from somebody in California who wanted to give us their truck. This is God, okay? So when this happened last week, we've been asking the Lord a lot of questions this week. Why? And one of the things that the Lord brought back to memory is just that. Everything is God's. God provided. And if it wasn't mine to begin with, it was God's. Therefore, it's His problem to deal with. And He's going to take care of it. It's the same principle. Our monies are His. And if I want it to be blessed, I'm going to give it back to Him. I'm going to trust Him with it. So let's get right into there's four principles I want to talk about today. First one, tithing overcomes the curse. Malachi chapter 3, first 9 verses. Behold, I send my messenger, and I will prepare the way before me. And he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. So right there, what does God desires? He desires an offering of righteousness. He desires us to lay ourselves at the altar, which is submission. He does the purifying. He does the cleansing. He does the shining. He does the cleaning. All I have to do is be willing to lay it at the altar, lay it at his feet. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, perjurers, and those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien or a foreigner because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. Right there, I want to stop for a second. He says, you're not consumed. In other words, you're not dead. You're not spiritually dead, but you have turned away from me. You know, when we talk about the curse, because tithing overcomes the curse, you know, a lot of us might say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm not under the curse. Well, have you sinned? Have we sinned? Is there things we need to repent of, even as Christians? Yes. Do we lie? Yes. Do we steal sometimes? Yes. Do we think thoughts we shouldn't think? Yes. Do we open the door for the enemy at times that we need to repent? Yes. But we are not consumed. What we are, to use the word curse, is sin separates us from God. But when we repent of those things, and repentance means to change your mind. Remember that. When we change our mind and do it God's way, the curse is lifted. Our sins are forgiven. We start over. We are pure and clean again. So in verse 6, when he says, I am the Lord, I don't change, therefore you are not consumed. What does that mean? It means, remember, he told Noah he's never going to destroy the earth again. So I'm not going to completely expel you. You're still my people. But you're not doing things my way. Therefore, I can't be involved in your life if you're going to choose to live your life apart from me. That's what the curse is all about. That's what sin is all about. When we don't do things God's way, God can't be a part of it. Therefore, I'm separated from God. And if I'm separated from God in those things, He has no door open to move and work in it. But when I do it God's way, the door is open. And He enters in. And He moves. And He touches. And He establishes. That's the key here. That's what we're talking about. O sons of the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. So now return to me and I will return to you. Well, how, Lord? How do we return to you? Says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You were not laying things at the altar that belonged to God. You did not keep my commands in such a way. You did not maintain my principles. And maintaining those principles meant I trust God to work. When I don't maintain those principles, that means I don't have enough trust in God working, so I'm going to do it my way. That's the difference here. That's the point. God says something, says, follow these blueprints. The only reason I would not follow these blueprints is because I don't trust these blueprints to be right, and I think I could do it better. Just like every guy in here who ever got a TV VCR cart that they wanted to put together and threw out the picture instructions. I can do it better. I don't need this. But why do I have 20 pieces left at the end? Okay. So the principles keep us in line to do it God's way and keep us open to receive the blessing. But I say, well, I don't need it because I don't trust it. Therefore, I shut the door and do it my way. So you've robbed me. So the curse is separation from God. It entails being without Him, shutting the door to Him to move and work in our lives. I want God to have full freedom in my life. If that's going to happen, I've got to create an environment. I have to have an attitude within me. I have to have a focus within me that I am going to do it God's way. That's the only way. It's the perfect way. And there is no way God will not enter if I do God's way. His name is faithful. And He is who His name is. He is faithful. You do it God's way, He is faithful. His promises are true. And His promises equate to the blessing. So tithing removes the curse. And if there's no curse, what is there? There's a blessing. What is a blessing defined as? A blessing is the act or words of a person who blesses, a special favor, mercy, or benefit, a favor or gift bestowed by God, thereby bringing happiness, invoking of God's favor. You want God's favor? Do it His way. That's His blessing. And the blessing comes, verse 10 to 18. Watch this. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Try me now in this. And we talked a lot about this. Test me, some versions say. Test me now and see, says the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Imagine that. Tithing rebukes Satan, who comes to devour, steal, and destroy. Did you ever connect those two dots before? Who would have thought obedience and giving back to God, what already belongs to Him, rebukes, keeps at bay, shuts the mouth, cancels the assignment, defeats the purpose of the one who wants to destroy your life. Think about it. Do you ever wonder why people who don't tithe, who are not faithful stewards, continue in a cycle of poverty and continue with a lack of hope of how do I get out of this? And I'll be the first to tell you, I went through that too, where I would look and say, Lord, I don't have anything to tithe because I need to get ahead. I need to pay off my bills. Yet for years, I never caught up with my own bills. Never did. But as soon as I said, Lord, I'm going to do it your way, I'm giving you everything first before I even look to see what the number of what I owe is. I'm going to trust you. And the Lord got us through. My wife has the same testimony. He got us through when we do it his way. Don't ask me how. It makes no logical sense. Okay? I cannot tell you the X's and O's of how it worked. But God did it. His favor was upon it. His blessing was upon it. He rebuked. See, when we right now, one of our prayers, my wife and I, two things we pray when it comes to finances. Lord, increase our finances. And it's not just for our sakes, but so we can give more and do more. But also, reduce our pay out. Reduce what we pay out. So imagine God rebuking the devourer who keeps sucking from you because of that cycle, because of lack of faith, because we didn't do it according to his blueprint. The enemy just keeps sucking. Because if God's not in it, who do you think is going to be in it? It's the enemy. And what happens? After a couple of weeks, a few weeks of not having, or what doubt starts to creep in even more. It starts to snowball. We panic, anxious. We start to get depressed, stressed, frustrated. Now we're working more. We're doing this more, doing that more. And which takes us away from fellowship with the body, from doing the things that God has called us to. Think about how the devourer works. If his job is to distract you, separate you from God and the things God has for you, that he's called you to do, anointed you to do, even prepared the way for you to do, even established before you were born to do, if he can get you sucked into that, he's done his job. And when we don't do it God's way, we put ourselves in that position to have him do that. We leave ourselves vulnerable for the devourer to eat us all up spiritually, which affects us emotionally, which causes stress. And we know stress is the number one thing that makes people sick. Number one cause of all illnesses. Because from a physical standpoint, to make long story short, shuts your body down so your immune system doesn't work right. And financial stress is also the number one reason marriages break up. Not infidelity. That's next. But financial stress. So think about how the devourer is trying to destroy what God had created you for. What God had established you for. What God is doing everything in his power to make a way for you to do that he's ordained and anointed, yet the enemy comes in. Because why? I opened the door for him by choosing not to do it God's way. I opened the door. And therefore, that's why God says, repent. Repent. That's it. Change your mind. Stop doing it the way you were doing it before. Do it the right way. That's all. Stop what you were doing it. Repent. Ask the Lord for forgiveness. Change your mind. And start doing it the right way. It's never too late. It's never too late. Today's the day maybe for you. Whether it's with finances or with anything else, today's the day. It's not too late. So he will rebuke the devourer. And when he does that, the devourer will not destroy your hard work, the fruit of your ground, everything you've done, everything you've poured into it. Nor the vine will fail to bear fruit for your field, says the Lord of hosts, and all nations will call you blessed. In other words, people will look at you and recognize God's hand on you and say, how are you blessed? How is it that this is happening to you? How do you do this? You work the same job I'm working. We're still under the same pay scale. You've got as many kids or whatever. How are you doing it? And why is there so much joy and peace over you while we're stressed out like crazy? Remember, there's joy that comes with this. And where there is joy, there is no stress. Where there is joy, there is no depression. Where there is joy, there's so much hope and faith. God will be all over you when you're walking in that. Because you know it's God, because it's only God's, something God can do, because no one else can. You could, I couldn't. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land. Imagine a delightful land. An element of this is you pray your home is a place where the Holy Spirit dwells, right? Think about it. When you are doing things God's way and He's all over you and you're walking in those things, your home is blessed. Your land is blessed. Your property is blessed because you're doing it right. And when people step foot on your ground, on your land, His presence is going to be there. And they will know the difference. I love the fact, and we pray over our home every day, that when people walk in, they feel the presence of God. It becomes a sanctuary of worship and prayer. We don't even have to say a word. They just come in and just feel it. Feel Him. This is all part of it. When you're doing it God's way, the work of your hands is blessed. There's an anointing on you. He's anointed it. And there's anointed on your property according to His word. And the devourer is because he's being kept at bay outside those gates. He can't enter. God is keeping him at bay. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You've said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept His ordinances, that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So the book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day that I make them my jewels, I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not. Part of this blessing and the removal of the curse is you're going to have a spirit of discernment or discerning spirit, able to discern those things, things of God. Think about what we just read just now. He just said people were looking around at one point saying, look at all these other nations who don't fear the Lord and serve God. Look how blessed they are. Look at us living in poverty. Why are we living in poverty like this? Because you have an attitude of poverty. You have a spirit of poverty. Why? Because you didn't do it God's way. And the evidence of that is those who feared the Lord, and remember, the word feared in the Bible means deep reverence and awe for who God is. Not, oh, I'm scared. It's a deep reverence and recognition of who God is. So those who truly revered the Lord set up a book of remembrance. What is that? That's that thing where we journal, we document the things of God and what He has done. Remember those milestones, those things we give God praise for. And we go back to them and we give Him praise. It's remembering, oh, God is the same, so He did it like this then, He'll do it like this now. So we don't forget. So those who feared the Lord held on to who God is. Not the circumstance, not the situation, but who God is. They trusted in His ways and who God is. And by doing so and staying faithful, they had the ability to have that spiritual discernment of who's walking with the Lord and who wasn't walking with the Lord. who was under the anointing and who wasn't under the anointing, what is of God and what is not of God. What is, in other words, the Holy Spirit was alive, so conviction, understanding was coming through. You knew what to do and what not to do. You knew who to go with and who not to go with, where to go in and where not to go in. God gave you that discernment. He gave you that wisdom. And this is all because I'm doing it according to His principle, His blueprint, His way. He's removed the devourer from my life and my things, and not just kicked them off my land, but allowed my land to grow and to flourish and to nurture. And then my neighbors get to look on my property and say, wow, look, you've got such a nice property. What's going on there? And then you'll be able to look at other people's properties and recognize who is doing it according to God's blueprint and who is not. Because you'll have that spiritual wisdom and that vision. But most of us didn't realize this is what obedience in tithing, which goes well beyond just passing an offering plate, is about. And he says, try me now and see in verse 10. And what will God do if we do? If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour it out on you. I'm going to pour it out on you, verse 10. I will give it to you. I'm going to stop here. The other 3 points we'll get into next week. But I feel like this is important. Because God wants to do this. Understand, God wants to rebuke the devourer. He wants to remove the curse and bless you. He wants your ground to flourish, your life to flourish. It's not if. It's not an if he wants to. It's yes, he does want to. It's a yes. He's already said yes. He wants to give you what you need to be able to make decisions that he wants you to make that are best for your life. He wants this. And this all comes from doing it his way. Sticking to his facts. It's been a tried and proven thing. Would you stand and bow your heads with me?